Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610 and on a Tuesday. We're about to go around the NFL, but as is customary on a Tuesday, one, we welcome in Brandon K. Scott. What's happening, B. Scott?
Man, living good. Good to go around the NFL. Good to go around the NBA tonight and watch these play-in suckers try to play their way into an opportunity to play against your number two seed, Houston Rockets.
Yeah, they suckers because they didn't get it done. You should have been a top six seed.
Oh, and especially the teams that we're looking at tonight, the ones that we're looking at squarely. I'm talking about the Golden State Warriors and the Memphis Grizzlies as we go around the NFL. Those two teams absolutely had an opportunity to make sure that they were in the playoffs. The Golden State Warriors, namely, at the end, did not do it. They ain't got nobody to blame but themselves.
That's right. True. Already talking that talk. And as is also customary, did you want to get in your question of the day answer? Because I know that you like doing that.
Mm-hmm. Well, so I actually loved hearing Sean talk about Damon Stoudemire. Mm-hmm. Because I'm just old enough to remember that era of basketball, Damon Stoudemire, how good he was at the time, but not quite old enough at the time to have been like reading the newspaper or following transactions or near misses. And so that's one that I completely forgot about, Damon Stoudemire. That absolutely would have changed the Houston Rockets. So I loved hearing him talk about that in 1998. But then for me, it would have definitely been Chris Bosh.
So you weren't a Matt Maloney fan?
I like Matt Maloney.
Why? Wait a minute. Why?
I was one of those who was like attached to the players that were already here. My mom called him Matt Baloney.
Yes.
And I got a kick
Listen
out of that.
Listen to your mom.
Well, I liked hearing her say Baloney, knowing damn well the man's name was Maloney. But, I mean, I'm not no fool. I would have got him up out of here for Damon Stoudemire. That's what I'm saying. That's a near miss. But Chris Bosh is also that era between like post T-Mac and Yao, but before James Harden really. And so that's that sort of that 08, 09, 2010, 2011 era of Rockets that was kind of just treading water a little bit.
Yeah.
And you're trying to figure out, okay, what are they doing here? And Chris Bosh would have been the guy that it felt like could have gotten them over the top, especially if they were able to pull off the James Harden move after that.
Right. All right. Let's now go around the NFL. And Albert Breer levied just a really good dispatch of just various things when it comes to NFL and, interestingly enough, college football related stuff. But one of the things that he threw out there is that the Browns and the Giants supposedly look less likely to take quarterbacks in the top three. Obviously, talking about the situation that the Giants have where they have three quarterbacks in their situation. And then you talk about the Browns and the fact that they obviously they signed Joe Flacco, but then they also kind of have the stipulations within his contract that kind of escalate his payment should he start a certain number of games, which probably makes them a little bit less palatable or a little bit less willing to necessarily go get a quarterback, especially also like a Kirk Cousins as another kind of veteran guy. But then you juxtapose that with the report that Shedeur Sanders is planning a private workout with the team that will be drafted number 3 overall, the New York Giants. Who are you more inclined to believe in this situation? Or what are you more inclined to believe, rather?
Not that.
That he will get selected in those top, in one of those second or third spots, or that he won't?
He won't.
Yeah, it's kind of surprising and maybe a little shocking to say, but it does seem like the Browns and the Giants and, by and large, the NFL is a little too smart to draft Shedeur Sanders in the top 5 or 10 picks in the draft. Yeah.
Like, well, 10 is an interesting cutoff number, ain't it?
Yeah, well, 10 is probably an interesting cut, but certainly 5.
Yeah.
Certainly 5. Yeah. And 10 is an interesting cutoff number. I think other things start to come into play and in the factor of why you might be desperate to go get him.
Yeah.
But just as he projects the type of player he is, he's probably a late first-round pick at best and probably a second-round quarterback. You're really reaching if you take him, say if you're the Giants and you're talking about this private workout that they got, if you take him at 3rd overall, certainly the Browns at 2nd overall, that has always really seemed to me to be like a reach or a stretch. And it feels more like reality that we've come down to earth over time and we're not going to draft Shedeur Sanders.
A lot of times as you get closer to the draft, you can believe a lot more, but don't believe everything. Because this has all the markings of, you know what, let's bring him in. And maybe there's going to be some deal out there that somebody's going to make that's just too good to pass up. And we can maybe bolster that deal by acting like we're going to draft him at 3.
Okay.
You know? All right.
But could this be a thing where they thinking about trading back up to get him maybe around 15-ish or something like that?
Well, yeah, trade the 3 and then go back and then come back maybe.
I'm not sure if he gets to 15. Obviously, the new – and this is something else that Albert Breer talked about – is the possibility of the Derek Carr shoulder injury that could, you know, put his entire 2025 season in danger. I always thought that kind of framework and phraseology was weird. And apparently this is why. Albert Breer making mention that this, you know, Derek Carr's team is pointing this back to like a 2023 injury that he's been dealing with. So maybe this is some level of like elevating the supposed level of injury to express his disdain with what the organization is doing, especially getting rid of Dennis Allen, which, I mean, I don't know what you expect, a big dog. Like, Dennis Allen ain't do nothing to cover himself in glory as the head coach, but maybe this is a level of displeasure with that and the fact that the organization took their right that they held within his contract to just go ahead and switch some of his money to signing bonus and, like, maybe, like, make him you know, stretch some of that money out, which makes him a little bit less easy to move on from if you were to move on from him. But just movements, doing things without necessarily his blessing as, I guess, the quarterback one on the roster. So he seems to be upset a little bit.
It looked like the Giants are trying to rob the Saints. That's what it looked like.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They're trying to set them up.
They're like, hey, you know what? Maybe.
Hey, meet me over in the store real quick.
Yeah.
They're trying to rob them.
Yeah, but even when it comes back to, like, all of this, everything that we just laid out makes sense, right? It's not even, like, big galaxy brain stuff. All of it is logic. But even when I come back down to them, like, man, Shedeur Sanders, is he basically Geno Smith? Is this all a bunch to do about nothing?
Wow, this is Geno Smith disrespect. That's crazy.
I mean, but would you be having a conversation about Geno Smith at 2nd or 3rd overall, or be trying to move, you know, using him as a piece to manipulate another team, or trying to move mountains to get him? No, like it just wouldn't be the case. And so and that's what it feels like he projects to be. Probably at best, I don't see him being any better than Geno Smith.
Well, he got his jersey retired out of college.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, true.
That's true. That's true.
Oh, we'll just get saying. To that.
Point Sanders.
I'm just saying.
Sanders.
We'll get to that.
My bad. Put some respect on the name.
Yeah, who is Eugene Cyril Smith II? Because that person probably, like, if he was coaching a team, I imagine the Geno might have his jersey retired somewhere. Maybe that's how that would work. No, I agree with you. Like, honestly, as much as I do respect Geno Smith, probably more than most people,
I do too. Mm-hmm. I do too. I hate that I had to take that side swipe out of. Mm-hmm.
No, but I think you're right. Like, I think that's been, we've talked about this. Yeah. I think, in fact, when you guys were hosting together in my absence, and I was listening and texting in, probably a little too much, distracting y'all from y'all work. It was one of the things is that this is a quarterback class that isn't as strong, but because of the position matters so much, it's of such a high value that this gets elevated, and it seems like maybe as we get closer. It's starting to level out a little bit, where Cam Ward is probably like the clearest, guy that you're willing to take a shot at. I'm also still worried, or not worried, but interested in what his ceiling ultimately is. Because I don't know, I think his ceiling might be possibly a borderline top 12, 10 quarterback.
Would and you that's take that? High,
right? Like, no. is his ceiling like Dak Prescott?
Well, I mean, he's got the... I think that's his floor, probably.
Mm-hmm. You think so?
Yeah, well, so if you're... Here's the thing. If you're skeptical, period, then you're going to obviously disagree with that.
Fair enough.
But if you're going into it looking at it, like, from a positive standpoint, like, I like this guy's game. What could he be?
Yeah.
You're looking at the physical traits. Obviously, the physical traits give you the feel like, hey, what if he could be Josh Allen? Oh, if he can't, can I at least get Dak Prescott out of him? Very well, his floor could be much lower than that. I don't want to disrespect Dak Prescott. Obviously, an MVP candidate. A dude that's got multiple contracts. I understand all
that.
A
legend at the bank is what I was going
to add. Legend at the bank. So, like, Cam Ward would be glad to be Dak Prescott, absolutely. But what I'm saying is, like, I think that the bet on what he could be makes a lot more sense than the bet on what Shedeur Sanders could be. Like,
his 100%. That's what you and I were talking about.
Shedeur seems to be, like, a high floor guy, and Cam seems to be, like, the high ceiling guy, and the floor could very well be low, but you're betting on the ceiling.
Yeah.
Whereas it's not as much ceiling that you're betting on with Shedeur.
I like that our text line is just a name that came in from the 832, Jackson Dart. And I get exactly what you're saying. It's like, he probably has more upside than Shedeur Sanders. The question that keeps coming up that I've seen is just, how much of that was the offense at Ole Miss when you talk about a Lane Kiffin offense? How much of that was that? How much of it is just the ability that he can show and the upside that he has? That remains to be seen. 9 or 10 days from now when the NFL draft gets going. I say or 10 days because I think that, you know, the second round obviously can be in play with some of these guys. All right, let's continue around the NFL, and I would love to just, like, give you more news and notes, but I really just I kind of want to make this into a impromptu mock draft check-in because Mel Kiper and Field Yates put together a mock draft. And, I mean, there's some things happening with this, but I just saw something that I found to be wildly interesting, which is the Houston Texans at 25. Field Yates has them picking a wide receiver. Can you guess which one? Mm. And remember that it is a wide receiver that would make me change what I was doing in order to bring it up to you guys.
Oh, Golden. It's Golden.
It is not Matthew Golden. Would you like to guess?
Well, it's not Igbuka.
It is not Emeka Igbuka. It is Ted Arroyo McMillan.
Oh, in a heartbeat.
Out of Arizona.
That's right.
So you surmised the question right off the bat. Yes. If McMillan, T-Mac, as people are taking to calling him, which that's going to get uncomfortable, would you take the wide receiver out of Arizona at 25?
Yeah.
I wouldn't even hesitate.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like, I am on the record of wanting them to go offensive line, or feeling like that is, more than anything, disappointed that feels like it's still as big of a need as it was when you went into free agency and into the trade season and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I don't want to feel this way, but I do feel like, hey, that should be a higher priority. But I'm not going to pass up clear and obvious talent, again, at positions of need, right?
Sure.
It's not like you don't need no receivers.
Right.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, you need receivers. This is a good one. I wouldn't even hesitate.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to see if I can make you shake a little bit on that not hesitating. One, how the hell does Ted McMillan fall to 25?
Well, that's the thing about the mocks this year, and I guess this happens to some degree every year, but especially this year, where they're not being, like, clear-cut blue chips. I mean, you got some great players. Travis Hunter, obviously, Abdul Carter. There are a few players that are like...
You got all the blue chips. Like, that's him. That's it. That's it.
And so what you've seen with the mocks is how much they... And the morning show has covered this, like, a lot with their mock draft injections daily. Mm-hmm. It's just so much fluctuation. The dude is in the top 10, then he's out of the top 20, and then it's like, well, where is he? It's really hard to figure out and to try to get a feel for when you're picking all the way at 25th, or you're a fan of a team that's picking at 25th, what exactly is going to be available
to
you.
Well, this draft has a lot of people have described this draft as it's a starter's draft, but not a superstar draft.
Meat and potatoes is what I've heard it was
it's
described
a starter's
as.
Draft. So how could he
fall?
Could
work for the Texans.
I was going to say, how could he fall? The teams above them see other people as starters, you know, that they could draft in, let's say, you know, 4 to 24, you know?
Yeah. But that is always also the beauty of the draft. You pick at 25, it's usually probably 35 players that can help you.
And by the way, you know? if you're picking
at 25.
If they think he's going to be available at 25, I think the Texans take him at like 19 or 20.
You think they move up?
You think they don't wait?
Yeah, once he falls to that area.
That wouldn't shock me at all.
They're going to say, let's get him. I had not thought about that,
but that would not shock me at all.
All right, so this is where I was going to try and see if I could shake you. And maybe this is not a good chance. The way that I've heard you guys talk and excited, the excitement that you guys brought up with Ted Arroyo McMillan, who is like not blazing speed, especially after the testing,
big
but
dude.
Like big dude, yep. Sure hands, all those types of things. Rather than trading up, could I interest you in, considering how highly regarded he has been, and if he gets that far, I feel like there'd be someone who'd be interested in coming up and getting him. Could I interest you in trading back and getting some more picks and an opportunity to like dig deeper into some more of these?
Not only no, but hell no, because you need him more, and you might want him more. You know, if somebody's really interested in him, yeah. Like, and we'll dig into this at noon.
I was like, that actually leans into the question we're going to ask at noon.
At noon, we'll lean into this a little more. But, like, I don't see anybody who would need him more or want him more.
Yeah, I'm almost at even more of a
Bills,
yeah. The Ravens. But look,
I mean,
and it'd always be somebody like that.
Mm-hmm. And mind you, like, in this mock draft, and of course it is just a mock draft, which you cannot take to mean, like, the end-all, be-all. But in this mock draft, Gray Zabel has been taken. And obviously, Matthew Golden's been taken. Kelvin Banks has been taken. But outside of that,
well, look, I've got
the other guys that we've talked about, like mm-hmm. the Tyler Bookers, yeah. the you know Josh Connerlys, like some of those other folks, still available. So, like in theory, you trade back, you give yourself more draft capital, and you can still get some of these guys that we've talked about very heavily towards.
But see, mine is a philosophical note. I don't even need it to be attached to the specific player that we're talking about. I would say just from a philosophical standpoint, no, because I need players, not picks, at this point.
Yeah,
right. Like I'm not in a rebuilding stage. I'm in the second straight year of trying to go after it with a Super Bowl. Like, I'm out here trying to get impact players right now. I want the best player available.
Totally agree.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I just found that to be interesting. I was mm-hmm. like, wait, McMillan?
If he's available.
Here?
Let's go. Let's get him at 19.
But that does make me wonder, what are Kuiper and Yates hearing? Like, mm-hmm. was that just like a thought process experiment that got them to this place? Or are they maybe thinking that McMillan, like, I understood that there was some level of, like, conversation around the testing not being good to, you know, maybe turning heads to some degree, but I was like 25?
I know we're getting out, but trading back feels like galaxy brain. Like, trading back feels like mm-hmm. way overthinking it at that point.
Fair enough.
Just go ahead and do your job, pick the pick, trade up if you really got conviction, but trading back feels like galaxy brain.
I don't disagree. I just wanted to see if I could maybe get you to jump off size with the galaxy brain hard count. And apparently you guys are on your grind. I see you. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. I really should have gotten out earlier because I'm really interested in seeing what B. Scott's thoughts are this today on this day where we're going to get some play-in basketball. We'll get to that. Next.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
All right, the man is here, B. Scott from Hiram Clark. I've already taken up too much of this time. We spent the whole break arguing that 25 Tetteroa McMillan situation. We'll wipe that away. Maybe we circle back around to that. Actually, I think it'll come back up at 12. But I got to get to B. Scott's thoughts because I'm super excited for where he's going.
Are we ready to talk about the Houston Rockets as a team that can make the NBA Finals?
Let's do it. It's funny because I've been crafting an opportunity to talk about to kind of judge them on the scale of what makes a championship NBA team. And I have that. Maybe we'll run that mm-hmm. later on in the week. But I'm interested that you got to this place before we even see who their first round opponent is.
Look, I've just already had a fun enough time doing the coronation, doing the waving the pom-poms, the congratulations. Hey, what a season. What a turnaround. Credit Ime Udoka. Mm-hmm. Credit Rafael Stone. Look at Jalen Green develop. Look at Amen Thompson and the revelation. Like, this feel-good story, I have enjoyed it. I have enjoyed help tell it and all of that. But, like, now it's time to tell the next day story. And the next day story is that this is a team that has just as good of a chance as any, I really believe, right? Like, and they're the number two seed. So they
Correct.
Quite literally have just as good of a chance as almost any other team to make the finals or to at least make the conference finals. And I'm ready to start talking about them seriously as a team that can do that. And I don't remember if I talked about this last week or not, but rarely do you find such a difference between 1 and 2 seeds where, or really between all the 1 and 2 seeds, mm-hmm. take the top 4 seeds respectively in each conference, right? The 1 and 2 in each conference, and really nobody think that that exactly only one of them can't go to the finals. Like, I think everybody thinks that the Cleveland Cavaliers could go to the finals.
Sure.
Thinks Agreed. That the Boston Celtics obviously could win the finals.
Correct.
That the Oklahoma City Thunder not only will go to the finals, but could also win it.
Sure.
Nobody thinks that the Rockets can do it.
Can I, I hear your point, and I think you're right. Can I also point out that the Thunder officially have the largest gap between a first and second seed in NBA history? Like, I feel like that also helps some of this out.
Yeah, and so you can't ignore the regular season record. I think that's where a lot of the narrative, and I don't want to take away from the Thunder either. There's a lot of parts mm-hmm. of the Thunder that are historic, like, I mean, like as a team, and obviously SGA and what he's doing individually. It's like a Jordan-type year. Like, we only do the LeBron Jordan stuff, but like SGA is having a Jordan-esque type of year as a shooting guard, and maybe that's not something that I'm considering enough here, but for me it's more so about a few things. Okay. The Rockets have they have 3 stars that have emerged but have just not have done it on this stage yet, right? Like between Alperen Sengun, Jalen Green, and Amen Thompson, these are the stars that people think that the Rockets are lacking. They're like, who's the guy? Who are their guys? They're doing it by committee. Who are their stars? They've got them. They just haven't done it on this stage yet. And so I feel like there's this little bit of bias of I haven't seen it yet, and so it doesn't exist or it can't exist. Whereas it's like, hey, look, I know they got to prove it to you, but these guys have done it through the course of a season, have shown you that they are just as good of a front three, a top three, as most teams have and can offer you. And I think the main thing for the Rockets, and this is not to take away from the Rockets, but has a lot to do with the parity around the NBA and the Western Conference in general, and what made the last week and even up to the last day of the regular season as exciting as it was. It seems like a hot take to be like, hey, the Rockets could go to the NBA Finals. But once you think about it, what I'm really saying is anybody can go to the NBA Finals. Like, nobody thinks that the Mavs or the Kings, whoever survives out of that is going to go to the finals. But once you go 1 through 8 or 1 through 6 and the Rockets fall within that, 1 through 7, the Rockets fall within that, obviously, at 2, any of those teams can go to the finals. It's one of those years where there's not a clear 1, clear 2, clear 3. Most years we can do that. Hey, these 1, 2, 3 teams can win the finals. That's not the case this year. It's these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 teams can go to the finals, and the Rockets just happen to be one of them.
What you're saying is you're not saying they are going to the finals. You're saying they can go to the finals.
I'm saying they can go to the finals because quite frankly, anybody can.
And that's factually, I mean, that's correct.
But more so this year than I think any other.
And also
than most.
Factually correct. If you have if you're one of the top 1 or 2 seeds in the league, you're also going to have a home court advantage, you know, predictably, or potentially, I should say, because, you know, you've got 2 of the 4 of the best records right there. I think where the pushback's going to come is obviously the Celtics have been there, done that. You know, Oklahoma City seems more than ready. The Cavaliers made it to the conference semifinals last year. They've paid their playoff dues, which is always something people talk about. You know, like you have to get there and lose before you can get there and win. Those 3 teams have, and the Rockets have.
Yeah, I'm willing to be the pushback guy here because you talked about the stars that they have, right? And I think that the particular prototypes that they have are a little atypical for people to see them. And I think that's one of the things that kind of keeps people from immediately jumping in there. And then to what you're talking about, it's not even just that, you know, going there and figuring out playoff basketball is just a different style of basketball. We know that. Now, I think that in the recent years, it's come a little closer to what regular season basketball looks like to some degree, elevated in want to and like in energy and effort, right? But or intensity is the word that I was probably looking for there. But it is still a different style of basketball where it becomes a chess match over multiple games, and you see the team over and over. And I think that is the element that, in addition to the other question marks that exist with this Rockets team, not saying that they're not good or not good enough, just that the margins become very thin, and you wonder if those numerous things end up being things that kind of trip them up on that path to a championship. And you would need to do that multiple times in specific, three times to get to the finals, four times to win.
No, it's a fair point, and it's I think it's an X's and O's kind of specific point. Mm-hmm. And this will be my rebuttal to it. I think Please. They got a couple of things going for them. The defense that they play, I think, travels from the regular season to the postseason because they're good in transition, they're good in the half court, they're multi-layered in what they can throw at you. The lineups that have been revelations over the last few weeks and we've talked about this over the last few weeks.
They can take away your best player.
They can go double big, they can go small ball five.
Yeah.
Like, they've got versatility and flexibility within their lineup that I think will translate from regular season success to postseason success.
Certainly.
When you start talking about strategizing and whatever the chess match is going to be between Ime Udoka and his counterpart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that part is, I think, one thing. The other one is just the flat out matchup part of it. I think they just match up well against the various teams that are possible. Now, the only team that they worry me in terms of matchup would be like the Clippers,
mm-hmm.
which is a team that I think people are talking about, especially basketball heads, but they're not the 2 seed or the 3 seed. You know what I mean? They had to fight their way to not be in the play. They had to beat the Golden State Warriors mm-hmm. at the end of the season to not be in the play in themselves.
And the nice thing about that is, as the tournament is situated, if you were to face them, it would be in the Western Conference Finals.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So there you go. So the way it's situated, you could find yourself in a Western Conference Finals against the Clippers. And now, if you're a basketball head, you're like, well, wait a minute.
They're here.
They're mm-hmm. here because they've been playing. But also, if you're kind of more into the narrative, you're like, well, they steal the Clippers. And so you like your chances against them.
That's
you
true.
Know what I'm saying? If you tell me a year ago, hey, man, a year from now, the Rockets are going to be in the Conference Finals against the Clippers.
Yeah.
Like, man, let's go. The Rockets can go to the finals, right? You would feel that way. Even if you say that Kawhi is vintage Kawhi mm-hmm. and James Harden is still doing some similar things that he used to do.
I think the other thing they have going for him is, as much as, you know, I'm making the argument, I think it's a fair argument. You got to go there first and then, you know, learn how to do it. Ime Udoka has been there. You know, he's done it. And I think that's a big advantage the Rockets have, just not only because of the defense, because he knows how to play that playoff game.
Yeah, man. I'm ready to talk about them as a team that can go to the finals. And also, side note, just because y'all did this segment earlier, am I crazy that I'm not scared of the Warriors?
No.
Like, you know what I mean? Like,
well, what should we prefer?
The answer is obvious. It's Memphis.
Okay. Right.
But
that's the main thing.
And so I don't want to like argue with it, but mm-hmm. I'm like, man, I just saw them dog walk the Warriors. I just saw mm-hmm. the Warriors wet the bed with an opportunity to not be in the play-in,
mm-hmm.
not just against the Rockets, but against the San Antonio Spurs, against their own Harrison Barnes, and then against the Clippers to end the season. Like, I ain't scared of that team.
No, and I don't think you should be. I think the point that I ultimately wanted to point out is just this is not a toothless Warriors team, even if it is a less toothy Warriors team than previous iterations have been. And I think that you're very capable of getting them out of here, which I think is evidence of some of what you're saying, which is the Rockets are probably of a higher caliber than I think people have given them credit for, in that I think you get to a certain point and you are a top four team if people are like, hey, we expect you to win in the first round and then we'll figure out what's happening in the second round, which I think the Rockets are probably around that space.
Man, let's throw the ball up in the air. Let's get the tip off going.
That's the thing, man. I can't wait.
Let's toss that ball in the air, man. Let's go.
Like, if you wanted to get me right in this moment, you were like, I want to get rid of the play-in. You might be able to get me to that place just because I'm ready to see playoff basketball right now. Well, I don't want to wait anymore.
They shouldn't do the Eastern Conference play-in.
That's a good point.
They should skip that.
You know what?
I know we don't have enough time to do that segment.
Let's talk about that a little bit and what's popping.
Just saying. Right.
You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's talk about what's popping, including let's make the case for not seeing no Hawks magic tonight. We'll talk about that and more next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
All right, let's get
brought to you by the Insperity Invitational at the Woodlands Country Club, May 2nd through 4th.
Here's the give, and they blow the play dead. Looks like a false start.
Big voice man gonna beat me up one of these days.
Say, let the big voice man do his thing. You see him trying to get his false shine start. On.
Offense.
I just keep getting them. They're going to get me out of here like Laramie. Man.
All right,
that's crazy.
Laramie.
Every week.
Though. I know.
Target on your back.
Excuse for
Target
that.
On your back. None. Remember that?
Target on my back.
Target on your back.
Yeah.
I should have come to expect it.
that actually hurt my feelings. I'm not gonna lie. I feel he feels so disappointed, man. I hate it.
Andre, all right, Andre's all about it right now.
All right, let's get into what's popping on a tax day, April 15th. Make sure you get that done so the IRS isn't on your back.
Already filed my extension.
Oh, you filed an extension?
Yeah, man. I got, you know, back taxes and things from previous years.
You don't
got
to talk. Well, you know I don't need to get into your personal business.
You know what I'm saying? I had to handle up.
My bad, dog. I was just trying
to. Brought it up. You struck a nerve.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But also, Jackie Robinson Day, baby. Shout out to all who celebrate. And again, by the way, B. Scott, we were talking about this at the start of the show. Does this also annoy you? Obviously, you want to celebrate. You want to celebrate Jackie Robinson. And it's good that there's still a place in this world where we're going to stop and appreciate this moment of inclusion that mattered and acknowledge how it actually benefited our society. And yet and still, that does not stop me from being annoyed when I see everybody wearing 42 with no names on the back.
Yeah, and the big thing is because I love the 42 part. I don't like the no names, and I get what we're trying to do. We're all Jackie Robinson today,
yeah.
Right? Like, we're honoring Jackie Robinson. We're all one, I think is what the, I didn't read this, but it feels feels like what the ethos is. We're all one in the spirit of Jackie Robinson. But go ahead and put them names on the back of the jersey so I know. It's specifically with baseball, though, right? Because you want to know who's pitching. I know they put it up on the graphic, and you normally see both who's pitching and who's hitting at the current time, right? We got technology to do that. But I like to see the name on the back of the jersey of the pitcher so I know exactly who's pitching. And if somebody's on second base, right? Like, you specifically with baseball, you get a shot of exactly behind the particular player, right? To where you read their jersey, right? So, like, that is a part of a standard shot in baseball is reading the back of somebody's jersey. So I'd like to know who I'm looking at.
I kind of like it. Am I the only one?
I like the 42.
No, I think it looks cool.
But if it's a Ramirez out there, I want to know.
No, you're right. It is, and you know, we sound like people yelling at the clouds. Like, I get it. It's not frequent. It does not happen. Well, I mean, it happens every year, but it's not something that's happens over a large stretch of the 162. You know, you deal with it and you keep it going. But as you mentioned, there's a lot of different identifiers, but there's a reason why we have these identifiers in the sport. It's that, you know, like I can see that number, I can see that name, and I know who it is. And I mean, in this way that we choose to celebrate Jackie Robinson, I'm very happy that we do it. I just want to acknowledge it's a little annoying. Just a little bit.
You know, my favorite part, not to get too dicey, my favorite part is when I have to watch one of the players that I don't suspect necessarily.
Ooh, that is true, yeah.
And I'm out there like, look at you having to wear 42 today with your name off your jersey.
I wouldn't say, the funny thing about it is I don't think that you're going to get that level of, I don't know, schadenfreude is the right word there, in that moment, because I feel like we have beaten it into everybody's heads that no, Jackie Robinson good. Like, we have all gotten to the place we can acknowledge this and hold hands about this one in particular.
I think even there are even some people like that, though, that can acknowledge Jackie Robinson good, that are like, but do I gotta wear this jersey,
though?
And why I can't have my family name on my back?
Yeah.
Oh, but how the tide has turned.
Shout out to John Rocker.
If the shoe was on the other foot.
You don't ever have to shout out John Rocker. I just want to make that abundantly clear. That never has to happen.
Not necessary.
It doesn't have to happen. All right. So, playing games happening today. Of course, the one of note here in Houston, 9 p.m. In San Francisco, it is Warriors. It is Grizzlies. The other one that is not of note, 6:30. Both of these on TNT, mind you. Hawks, Orlando Magic. We should not be playing this basketball game, should we, Scott?
Man, so just like the simplest way to put it is that there are only probably two teams in the Eastern Conference. I just did this in the last segment where I kind of lambasted the idea of just saying how many teams could win the championship. Mm-hmm. But legitimately in the Eastern Conference, there are probably two, and there are certainly no more than six, and it is the top six seeds, right? Like, after that, from 7, 8, 9, and 10, none of them teams can beat any of those top six teams in any scenario in a seven-game series.
Y'all are driving me nuts.
So it should not happen. I'm gonna watch it because I enjoy basketball, and I'll watch almost literally anybody play basketball, so much less NBA players. But this is not necessary at all. Whereas in the Western Conference, you've got, I think, no less than, and I laid this out pretty well, I think, seven teams that could, and maybe even eight if you, how much you believe in the Grizzlies, eight teams that could go to the conference finals. So while the play-in in the Western Conference is 100% necessary, the one in the Eastern Conference is 0% necessary.
Y'all drive me nuts.
All right, why?
How quickly you forget.
Forget what?
If the Rockets had made the play-in game last year, you'd be doing backflips.
No, hold on.
This ain't last year, Lopez.
No, man, no. That's like...
Hold on.
But I would not have pretended like they would have had a chance to win the championship.
You don't have to pretend they're going to win a championship. I mean, it's like that's the reason they do it. Like, we were talking about, are they going to make the play-in? Are they going to make the play-in? And, oh, what a great step that would be. Dude, that was last year.
Man, we talking about the Hawks and the Magic.
Yeah, I was going to say. And this is the good one, right? Like, this is the 7-8.
Yeah.
This is the 7-8 matchup. Here,
yeah, you got Bulls.
Yeah, here in a couple of days, you're going to get treated, to Heat Bulls.
Yeah.
Listen.
But again, man, I mean.
Well, Lopez, I don't disagree. Like, if I lived in Orlando, I'd probably be stoked.
Yeah.
But I don't.
Would you? Because they have a lot of talent. They've been right in that same spot. For a little while.
I would be doing all kind of rationalization and talking myself into scenarios in which they could get out of this play-in and give a team some fits and all that kind of stuff. Like how they could make it hard on the do you believe in Donovan Mitchell or the Cavaliers for real? I'd be doing all kind of mental gymnastics if I lived in Orlando. But I don't. I live in Houston. I'm able to see it from far enough to say they ain't got a shot. But they ain't got a shot.
Didn't they have to be within a certain like distance in order for the play-in to kick in, right? Can we bring those rules back of like
if 500 this is, or better?
Yeah, if this is worth our time, then we can do this.
The Orlando Magic, I kid you not, notoriously struggle to score 100 points on a given night.
Man, they playing in 1998, man. Yeah.
They like seriously, 95, like along from a long time ago. They are a team from yesteryear.
They averaging 86 points a game, man.
I don't disagree, but we were just talking about, hey, there's really only four teams that can maybe win this thing, you know, or anybody in the West, you know, if it's top five or whatever. And here we are like, I don't even want to see that. Oh, man, we'd be doing backflips last year.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I ain't doing
fun watching the Hawks.
I ain't doing
Magic.
Them now.
Yeah.
That's right. The Magic were the 4-seed last year. That just spoke to how nasty the East was in general, to be fair.
I ain't even doing cartwheels for this one.
Can you do a cartwheel?
I ain't even rolling on the ground. I mean, I can, but I won't be able to get up off the ground after I collapse.
Yeah. You know what? I'm just going to, like, look. Ultimately, I like what the play-in tournament has done just in general. It keeps teams more interested in trying to compete for longer. It does not fix the tanking thing in general, but it does make it a little bit better. I also am just going to take this as an opportunity to appreciate. I got 6:30 to 9 to myself. I don't really got to tap in. Yeah. On Thursday, I think the other play-in game, I'm not really playing games, right? I'm not really all that worried, or Wednesday rather. Mm-hmm. I'm not super worried about either. And so I think I'm going to get to a place where I'm just going to look up and go, we're about to be in that time period where every damn night is going to be basketball on. And I will get tired. I know this about myself. I'm excited for the first couple of weeks, and I'm like, man, I'm tired. Mm-hmm. So for the time being, I'm just going to enjoy this week where I have a little time down.
And see, I love how you're on one end of the ledger, and I'm on the other, where I'm like, man, I got to build up my stamina and endurance. Like, I know this is an earlier game.
Got to run some laps.
Yeah.
You're talking about just staying up till midnight every night.
Just getting the routine down from like, hey, I'm watching basketball.
Some toe touches, some jumping jacks.
I'm going to be watching basketball from 6:30 to 12:30. And I got to get my kids up at 6:30 to get to school. So, like, and probably even before that, the 6:30 usually is after I've hit the snooze button a couple of times. So, like, yeah, I got to get ready for that kind of that flow, that muscle memory.
That is a great point. This time of year does really test. Because, I mean, you still got baseball on as well. But then you'll get playoff basketball.
And the Astros had the nerve to go to the American League West on us.
That's right.
In the last decade plus.
Yeah. That's right.
To make the NBA playoffs harder on us.
Do you know how bad I felt when I was like, all right, they're going to Seattle? And then I was like, oh, that's right. It starts at like 8 something.
Yeah.
All right.
Or 9 something.
Do y'all be taking naps?
Man, like, hey, thank God for those rewatches, for those re-airs.
Ah, yes.
Because sometimes I get up in the middle of the night. Sometimes I just run it back in the morning.
Yeah.
Thank God for the record button.
That's right.
Got that record on Fubo. It is my argument in my case for Fubo.
Yeah.
For the Fubo TV, because I can record the game. Hey, sometimes I'm just not going to make it.
Yeah.
I ain't going to make it.
Did you see this Braves reporter?
This is fantastic.
Mackin.
Yeah.
Mackin on the broadcast and at the behest of the people, the dudes in the booth. Mm-hmm. This is the Braves broadcast right here.
We're having a lot of fun up here up the Corona rooftop. Who do we got here? What's your name?
My name's Lauren.
Lawrence, all right.
And I'm Kayla.
Kayla, and Lawrence. You guys hang out at the rooftop lounge often?
Once a year I come out to visit.
Okay, well, we timed it pretty well. All right, good. How are you guys feeling about for the Braves today?
Oof. I don't know. I'm hoping for the best.
What about you? Are you a Braves fan now?
Not quite.
Not quite. All right, I'm gonna go to work up here, guys. Good luck the rest of the way.
Okay, Wiley. You got four innings to get the numbers.
Come on.
Get us some more Braves fans.
All right, so they want me to get your number.
They want you to get my
number. I'm dead serious. They're saying in my ear right now, she didn't believe me because she thinks you guys are not, I'm making this up. Even if you guys weren't, I might use that in the future. That's actually a pretty good move.
This is unbelievable. So the best part of this right now is that Wiley could totally be faking it. This might be the new move. You just walk around with a FanDuel microphone and an earpiece in and convince fans that they're actually on TV.
I should have thought of this years ago.
I am speechless. I got the number. We're good.
I've seen this clip.
Putting a number in his phone. And this...
Am I a caveman that I... For not having a problem with this at all.
Well, I don't know if you're a caveman.
Well, then I'm a caveman too. Because like they
I will be civilized here. This is weird, dog.
No, it's weird.
It's weird that it played out on television.
It is weird. But here's the thing. And there is a lot of pushback, a lot of controversy around this all of a sudden. And I'm just slapping my forehead. I understand the pushback and the controversy if this was a serious, you know, interview. And by the way, can I get your number? You know, and I'm looking at some of the comments right now. If a female reporter ever tried this, that'd be the last job she ever had. Hey, another one. Hey, if you
they would be on her head top though. They would be on her head top.
But she'd definitely get work again.
If you think this is cool, imagine the reaction if the roles reversed. And on, I mean, a lot of the reaction like that. And I get
cooler.
It. I get it. Okay, there is a double standard, and you're not wrong, Reggie. But my thing that like, and we've all gone to journalism school. And we understand that this would be a problem in another environment, another situation. But the guy's job is to work the stands, you know, and for fun, offbeat, you know, sort of change of pace type moments. And that's what it was.
I don't think old girl was signed up to give her number up on TV. Like, that's one of those, hey, man, the world is watching, so you better give me your number. Like, I think there's a level of discomfort there.
All I'm saying is, like, if you're pushing back, like, oh, this journalistic ethics and all that. Come on.
I don't think anybody's talking. I don't know if it's the ethics of it particularly.
I can show you some more.
Okay.
I can show you like setting the standard. It's an incredibly low, unprofessional standard to set. I mean, on and on and on. People are pushing back. Get over it. Get over yourself.
I think it's deeply uncomfortable. And the one thing I will say this like, that's deeply unserious compared to like the serious nature that we could take this in. Hey, man, if that was Vince Scully would have put in there a the count is 2-1, or like something in there. Like, can we make sure that we still talk about some baseball in here as well?
This is really to me though, like the difference of how we used to catch a vibe back in the day and be like, hey, is she flirting with me? Does she like me? Does she look at me? And now we're not allowed to guess or assume anymore.
Yeah,
but that kind of felt organic to me. Mm. It did. I watched the video.
Yeah, it was absolutely organic,
and it felt. Like, you know, like he felt something there. Like,
I will say,
hey, you know, this could work.
I'm not mad at you hollering. I feel like that was one of those you needed to holler when the camera cut away. When the camera cut away, we can holler.
And that's where dude being wingman does make it a little weird and uncomfortable.
He goes,
hey, you got 5 innings to get the numbers. Yeah. And then he kind of hurries up and corrects himself. Let's get us some new Braves fans. Oh, yeah, get the numbers to get us new Braves
fans.
That's
right, yeah.
And that made it a little uncomfortable, yeah. But yeah. I don't know.
Did you notice that they ain't Braves? They were just there. They were just there.
It's like a company outing.
Like that, I think that was this felt like it was set up for that in particular, which made it uncomfortable for me. I'm going to be completely honest. Like, they was trying to watch the baseball, or just trying to be outside.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how much they were invested in watching the baseball, it seems like.
It seemed like the way they was talking, too, I thought the Braves was getting their ass whooped.
They were up 5-0.
Yeah. They were just like, I don't know how long I'm going to be here.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, they winning.
They weren't paying attention.
No.
They were just there with
that's
the company.
That's why I kind of think it might be a little bit of a setup, little stage.
This is why all sideline or, like, reporters need to be married, so they're not in these situations.
That's
why Julia Morales is a saint because she's married. That's how that works. I don't believe any of that. All right, y'all, you're in the loop here on Sports Rail 610. Salute to our guy B. Scott, always jumping in with us on a Tuesday. I love the energy and excitement that you have brought for Rockets basketball as of right now. Championship bound Rockets basketball.
Excited.
Let him tell it.
Very excited, man. Can't wait to see it, man. Got championship aspirations. Start taking them seriously. Put some respect on the Rockets name right here, right now.
That is an edict from B. Scott. All right, from Hiram Clark, mind you. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, all right, so the Texans defense is championship ready. If you could only have one piece to get the offense championship ready, what would that piece be? 713-572-4610. We'll talk about it next.